week or so ago, I saw a little clip, video clip, of a great big auditorium filled with people, and this very well-known TV evangelist character walks out with the oohs and ahs of the crowd, all eyes on him. He walks out bigger than life, and he struts around a little bit, and he makes the declaration that I'm here to bless you. And so he got down in the crowd and asked who wanted to be blessed, and there was people wanted to be blessed, of course, and he went around and he would lay his hands on them, and whole rows across the auditorium would just fall over. He would bless them. Regardless of that, what you think of that, I want to make a statement. We only worship God. There isn't any man that is the man. We have gifts. We're given callings for the edification and perfection of the saints. There's no big I's and little U's, not in the church of God. Any minister worthy salt points the souls to Christ, because I can't save you. And sorry to say, I can't bless you tonight. If the gift of God works, then you can be blessed. But I can't, there's no pointing you to anybody except for Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can make a difference to you. And when I point someone to Christ, and there's an expectation that if you find that mark, if you hit the mark, if you find Christ, you're going to find a quality of life there. There's going to be a change in your life. There's going to be a holiness in your life. There's going to be a righteousness in your life through Christ, not through your own life. And so I reject the idea of the man. The man is only to point us to Christ and to the cross. The disciples run into that because of the work of God, the gift of God that they had, the calling on their life, and the miracles that God could perform through them. It caused people to want to worship them. There was different times that some would come and they would suggest that they were the man. And never did they accept it. They did not accept it. Peter said to them, why do you look at us as though by our own power that we've done this thing? This is by Jesus Christ. Don't look to us. We haven't got this ability to do that. Paul, in similar manners, had to reject, I'm not him. I want to tell you about him. I'm flesh and blood. I never died on a cross. I never had the ability to save anybody. I can't point you to me. So let me get out of the way, but point you to Christ. Christ is the one that can do what you need to. I will fail you at my greatest desires. I'll fail you if I try. But I can point you to the one that won't fail you. That's Christ. Now there was a certain character in the Bible. His name was John the Baptist. John was a relative, I think a cousin or something, of Jesus. We know some of the story of that. But Jesus testified of John that there was no greater. That's a high testimony coming from the Son of God. That there's no greater among men, born of woman, than John. John, that was high. And I know that the people was disappointed that followed John when John was thrown in prison and then beheaded. I know that had to be disappointed. But you know what his message was? I must decrease. I'm not the man. Well, John, we're all gathering to you. And he said, I know, but I'm not the man. And the man that's coming, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. I'm just here as a forerunner to point you to Christ, as great as John was. He wasn't Christ. And he was not to be worshipped. Paul said, follow me. Well, I'm glad he didn't stop with that. He wanted to clarify that so much. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. If I divert from that, you're going to divert too. So follow me as I follow Christ. There's no, Lord help us, there's been times that charismatic people, people with human abilities and things like that, have pulled people that are prone to it, have pulled people's attention and pulled their mind to maybe this is the guy. There is no God. You know, we had Brother Sammons as a spiritual leader in our... God bless that old country boy. He'd have told you he wasn't the man. Too many imperfections. He wasn't the man. But we thought, and our thinking is that maybe some of you have had those kind of thoughts. What are we going to do without him? We have those human thoughts. What are we going to do without Brother Sammons? There was a similar thing one time when you could have said, what are we going to do without Elijah? What are we going to do without him? Elijah was the man of God. He was the go-to guy. I mean, he had some power and pull with God. I mean, he was the man, right? But when Elijah comes to the point with his mantle, he said, where is the God of Elijah? Not Elijah. Elijah's gone. We don't need Elijah. I don't need Brother Sam. I mean, Brother Sammons was instrumental in my life. I thank God for him. But he is not the man. God is able to raise up among us the people that he wants. Know anything? Elisha wanted what Elijah had. The God of Elijah. We need the God of Brother Sammons, of Brother Larry for this congregation, of Brother Jim at home, or you know, Brother Phillips going down there and left the vacancy. He's not the man. He was a wonderful man. He was a good man. He was a dear friend. But God is still God. And what encourages us tonight to look to God. And there's an aspect of this that I want to bring out to us that will affect, I think affects, can affect all of our life. It's about God. And then it's not about me. We live in a world that seems like more and more people make everything about them. That's just something that I look at and see, and it seems like there's so much of the world about me. I heard a little statistic. There was studies done about these kind of things, and one of the elements, and it wasn't all the elements, but one of the elements was the family structure. They thought, they were saying that the family structure was the cause of a lot of these problems, the mass shootings and the things that's happening in our world, the different things that's happening. It was because of a breakdown of the family structure. And a part of that family structure, they actually said that in the past generations, people had more children in their families than they do now. Now, people are contented to have one. And they were saying the difference between the mentality of an only child, I'm not dismissing if anyone is, it doesn't mean it has to be that way. I'm just suggesting that they're saying that a lot of times in families, people have to learn that you don't get everything you want. Because there's limitations with big families. And a lot of times they have to learn how to share, how to get along. They learn structural skills about how to do things. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. We're in a different world now. And in a world that makes it that everything's about me. It's not about me. Lord, help us. This is not about me. Far be it from me that I'd ever have an inkling of jealousy about my brother. You know why? It ain't about me. Brother, preach it hard, preach it strong. The glory ain't going to you if you do. It's going to God. God bless him, enrich him, help him. Why? It ain't about me. Lord, help me have the spirit of John the Baptist that it isn't about me. It's about Jesus. Help us to point to Jesus. And if you can do it, brother, better than I can, give him the right of way to do it. If his gift works, give him the right of way to do it. It's not about me. I don't need a following. I don't need a praise. It's about Christ. We're trying to bring people to Christ. It isn't about who can sing best or who can do this or a demonstration of the flesh. It's about pointing people to Christ, the one that can save their soul. We want to hook them up with Christ. And so, Lord, help us tonight. I want to look at a scripture. Oh, I've got a few scriptures here. I don't know exactly the order that I was wanting to think about this, but I have seen in my lifetime at different times people that would become upset for things that I didn't understand for them to be upset about. Let's just say it that way. Well, why didn't they ask me to do that wedding? Because they need about you, Brother Marty. That's why, right there. It's not about you. I wonder why that family didn't get me to do that funeral. I was close to them. I don't need no job, so I'm not for that. But I'm going to tell you why. Because it ain't about me. I shouldn't make it about me. It's not about me. Lord, what can you do best? I will pray for them to have it the best, that God can touch souls in it all. It's not about me. It shouldn't be about you. I want to use this as an example. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but it's something that was in my thinking that I use as an example. Years ago with my first wife, I hadn't been married very long. My mother-in-law refrigerator went out. And so my wife was one of five girls. And two of them was young, or at least one of them was still at home. There's the four girls. And so somebody decides or makes the suggestion, why don't we buy mom a refrigerator, us, the children? I remember my wife come to me and said, you know, it was a plan to buy her a refrigerator. Well, I remember my feet was under her table a lot of times. I mean, I was there a lot of times. She fed me a lot of times. I remember thinking, well, that's the least we could do for her because, I mean, we go where it needs. I mean, she does. I thought it was a good idea, right? It was going to do it. Well, so we planned to all get together and buy her a refrigerator. Well, in the meantime, the oldest of the daughter, who was much better off financially, their family was, and so the oldest one decides to go ahead and just buy the mother's refrigerator. So she went ahead and bought the refrigerator. Was that something? Because all the girls, she done it to make herself big. And I remember thinking two things. First of all, I didn't have to pay my money. I mean, honestly, I'm going to tell you, we didn't have to pay for a refrigerator. But the main thing I said was, and I remember telling my wife this, and I remember saying, wait a minute. What was this about? It was about mom and a refrigerator. Okay, let's keep our focus here. Thank God, mom's got a refrigerator. I actually thanked them for buying her a refrigerator because the goal was accomplished. This is the need and it was met. The other ones felt about it. It's got to be something about me. No, it doesn't have to be nothing about you. It was about mom. And it was about the refrigerator. And mom got a refrigerator. So praise God. Praise God. That's the way I look at it. Praise God. She got a refrigerator. It's all took care of. There's no reason to have any kind of other feelings unless you make it about you. Don't make it about you. If you don't make it about you, then it's okay. Thank God for it. God provided and done it and answered prayer. There's no need to be contention about it. It doesn't matter what the motives was. I didn't look at the motives of it. I looked at it. The goal was done. God can look at the motives. I can't look at the motives. But God looks at the motives, and it was, the goal was there. Does it matter whether I preach the Saturday night at Monarch or somebody else does, as long as the Lord blesses? I'm telling you, it's not about me. It's not about you. Let's make it about God in our lives. This will go through all of our daily walk with the Lord. It will go through everything when we put it in the right perspective. It'll keep me from being hurt-feeling. This isn't about the way I think about things. This is about God. And it's about bringing souls to the Lord. And for them to be good saved. And you know, sometimes we're misunderstood. And when we're misunderstood, we can really be hurt. But if we remember, it's not about me. Lord, if you want to use me as a vessel to be misunderstood, you think Jesus was ever misunderstood? There's a whole book about it. He was misunderstood. Was Paul misunderstood? Was John the Baptist misunderstood? Who of the saints wasn't misunderstood about what they were doing? Most of them was looked at as evil and wicked, all of these things. But it wasn't about them. It was about the Lord. So I'm going to start with a scripture in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I'll go just with the 5th verse to pick up a thought. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Listen to the way this is saying this. Can you imagine this being... This have to be just within the realms of the body of Christ, because who could you put such a thing on and with the expectation that that would happen? Be subject one to another. So I saw this thing today, and it was the faces of all the Republican candidates for the debate stage, I think. They're going to be able to debate sometime. And there was all one there. Could you imagine this scripture? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And I'm just talking about the same political party. Okay? And be clothed with humility. Now, could you imagine who's he talking to? He can't be talking to those guys. I think of some of them guys there, and as I look at it, my understanding it is that there's no way that they're going to be president. So what are they doing? They're making it about them. A little publicity, a little, maybe they can go farther in their career, maybe they can be important enough to be chosen for something. The betterment of the country, the betterment of things, highly suspicious about those kind of things. You know, I heard it said one time that we're all born coming into this world with a big number one on our chest. This is about me. And you can find, I mean, isn't it true with a baby when they're born? Who's it about for them? Everything's got to be about them, of course. But we're supposed to grow up in this. It says, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there is an exaltation. God will exalt you in time. But the command is to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. I'm that God is able to take care of this. I don't have to push my own cause. I don't have to lift myself up in this. But I submit myself to the will of God. And in due time, God's going to put me right where I'm supposed to be. He's going to exalt me and lift me up in due time. There'll be an exaltation there in due time. But you humble yourself. That's the way to do it. It's not about me in life. It's about the Lord. Everything I want to do about the Lord is not about me and about my feelings and about the way I want to do it. I want my children to be saved. Making it about me don't work. You got to make it about the Lord. That's what's going to help them. It's going to help them. You all listen to what I say. You want to do this. I'm very careful about that with this because I want them. No, I don't want them to be hypocrites. I don't want them to be done because I forced them to do it. I want them to do it because they know the Lord. I want to point them to the Lord. Best thing you ever do in your life is to be saved and to follow the Lord. You will avoid so many heartaches and so much trouble if you follow the Lord. And at the end of it, the scripture says that in this life, a hundredfold in this life, you have mothers and brothers and sisters and houses and lands. You will have a hundredfold in this life and life eternal from following the Lord. I tell you that following the Lord is the best. So often, make it about us. Not about us. Not about me. It's about the souls and finding the Lord. That's the bottom line about it. It's about following the Lord. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The scripture we'll look at, because it's not about us, was the story of David and Goliath. I'll just tell some of the story. You can find the whole thing in the first book of Samuel, 17th chapter. So, some brothers of David are with Saul. They went up to the battle. The Philistines was pressing it on. And so they had went up to confront the Philistines. And there was a champion of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath, who was a giant. And he was there and he come out every day to challenge, to humiliate, to run down, to disgrace Israel, the armies of Israel, and the God of Israel. And he come out to disgrace them and do all that. And meanwhile, Jesse says to David back at the front, said, I want you to take these, some bread and some corn and some cheese, and I want you to go up and greet the captain and give these to your brothers and see how they fare. So David goes up there, and when he gets up there, it seems like it's set in my mind's eye. I see him up on a rise, and there's a valley, and they're pitched against each other, and out steps a giant. About the time he gets there to greet him, out steps this giant, and he comes up, and he says the same things that he had said for 40 days. He comes out, and he defies Israel, the armies of Israel, the God of Israel. He's defying it all. And David then sees this, and his faith kicks in, and he sees this, and he wants to do something about it. This is important to him. And he knew God was able. And you know what? I don't think God would have blessed him like that if he thought, you know what? This is my ticket. This is the way David gets his name in the king's books. This is, I can be something. Right here's my opportunity. I've been looking for it. Right here's the opportunity. And now I can, you know, this wasn't about David. He didn't try to make this about David. It wasn't about David at all. He comes up and says, who is this uncircumcised? Why isn't somebody doing something about, we're well able. God is our God. I mean, In my mind's eye, I mean, you think about it. David, no doubt, had heard the stories. That's the way they did it then. You can read about it. I mean, they, no doubt, Jesse told his sons the stories. David wrote about it. He sang about it. He knew about the crossing of the Red Sea. He knew about the battle of Gideon. He knew about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. All those things was their heritage, and God had been exalted in the storytelling of their people. This was like our God. And David seemed like he was a young lad that believed the stories. I know I'm adding to this, but it makes sense that he knew of the heritage that he had. And now he's there and he sees the armies of Israel cowering down to an enemy, and that's not the way the story is told. Folks, that's not the way the story is told. We're not to cow down to the modern liberalism of this world now. We're not to cow down. We still have God. We don't have to give in to the political movements and all this movement. We can still declare the word of God. We don't have to give in to it. Well, David, I remember the story. Why can't I believe the stories that I heard from how God blessed Brother Salmon's and how God healed Brother Williams? And why can't I believe in the miracles that our forefathers told? Why can't we have them now? Well, we can. He's still the same God. It's not Elijah. It's the God of Elijah. It's not those people. It was the God of them. They're long gone. But the same God that did it's there. And he's there for us too. And David, no doubt, these great men, Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Caleb, these men are gone. But the God of them is still there. The God helped me to kill a bear and a lion. The God's still there. And so you remember the story. David starts this big talk. Well, it wasn't big talk. It was just talk. But his brothers looked at it. Eliab said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. Yeah, there's always going to be those. There's always going to be cold water thrown on the fire. There's always going to be. Sure, there always is that. There's always something to push through. But David said it right when he looked to this side and said, is there not a cause? What cause? My cause? Am I trying to be big? Am I trying to be heroic here? Or am I trying to lift my name up into the annals of history and of the chronicles of the King Saul? No. There's a cause that's bigger than that. It's the cause of God. Let me die for the cause of God. And so David's there and ready to said, I know that not is there. And is there not a cause? They had to answer this. Answer it honestly. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Shouldn't somebody stand up to him? Are you honestly going to go ahead and tell your children about Moses in the Red Sea, Joshua in Jericho, Gideon and breaking the lamps, and then you're going to tell this story about how this giant run us off? Are you going to tell it that way? Is there not a cause? You know, this ain't about me, folks. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come and I'm going to go. That's all there is to it. Young people, Brother Marty's coming and he's gone. So did everybody else. What we want to leave you with is an experience with the Lord. We want you to say, you know what Brother Marty said, I found it to be true. That thing he thought about healing, that, and Brother Salmon said, and Brother Evan said, and this one, that God was there, they're still there. Because he's there for me. And he helped me through this and did this for me. That's what we want. Because that cause will endure it. That cause will go to eternity with you. That's the real cause. So in this thing, is there not a cause, David? Yeah, there's a cause. The sword of the Lord in Gideon. He won the battle. And I'm fixing to do it too. You know the story. Little ruddy boy. Saul puts his armor on. If you can imagine, he's a little boy and Saul was a big man. You imagine him there with that armor on. I have not proved this. This ain't where I'm going down there in a whole different idea. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for me to go there? No, it's not for the king's daughter. It's not for the treasures. You'll keep that to yourself. But there's a cause. There's something worth fighting for. I want the story to be told to our posterity. Face the giant. And the Lord was there and smote the giant for me. This is not our cause. It's not about me. We'll come and we'll go in this life. Lord, help us that what we leave behind isn't a heritage of what a great person we were. But what we leave behind is that there was Christ was with us. God helped us through these battles. There was a man in the scriptures whose name was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a man, a great man. And he used the talents that he was born with or given or learned. And he conquered the known world. So much so in the image, if you'll remember, the image that Daniel interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, O king, this head of gold is you and the splendor of it. He made a splendor. You can read about him in history, not just biblical history. You can read about him in secular history. There's things known about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a wife from a foreign land, the history says, and there's no evidence of the garden or really a description of it, but there's an assumption of what he did. He made the hanging gardens of Babylon. He done it because his wife was lonely she longed for her home and he didn't want her to go, so he brought the home to her and he made this beautiful garden because he could. But he walks out one day. There is no doubt that he was an exceptional character in history. And he walks out one day and looks around. According to the scriptures, he looks around and says, if you'll let me ad lib this a little bit, ain't I something? I've outdone everybody that's ever walked on this planet. I have set up a kingdom like no other kingdom, and I'm something. You know, the Lord didn't really look at that very favorably. All about you, Nebuchadnezzar. No matter what you do with your hands and your mind, no matter how much you study, no matter how hard you work to accomplishment, you still owe God your life. O king, Daniel said to Belshazzar, O king, your life is in his hand. And you knew all of these things, and your life is in his hand. He gave Nebuchadnezzar life and the ability to think and the strength to war. And he gave him all of this instead of the praise going back to God for what God had given. He looked at it and it was his own cause, his own purpose, and nothing else in it except for this is about me. And God put him down for that. And until he learned, I think it was 7 years, wasn't it, that he crawled around like the beast of the field. Said that his hair was like feathers, and I think his nails was like claws, and he ate grass like a beast of burden out in the field until he knew there was a God in heaven. And then God had brought him back and restored him back after that, and then he knew. What I'd done was not me, folks. What I'd done was by the power of God and God's providence in life. This is about God and it's not about me. I don't suppose that my name or who I'm going to be is going to go very far. And I absolutely doubt that there'll ever be a highway with my name on it. This is Marty Clevenger Highway. I doubt if there'll be a building. The Marty Clevenger Federal Building. There's not going to be a bank, a building, a road, or any of those things. And you want to know something? It's fine with me. Because all that's fuel for the fire anyway. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. So over in the 115th Psalm, the psalmist had an idea here in a few words that he said. At the beginning of this, he says in the start of this psalm, not unto us, I love his part, I love the way he starts this psalm. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. Everybody around making it about us. It's about what I'm doing. It's about this. But the psalmist here says, not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. It's not about us. When we make it about us, it's not going to go very far. And we don't want to make it about us, but not unto us. But unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. To you, O Lord, this belongs. To you all that we accomplish and all that we do. The fact that I got up this morning with life was because of the Lord gave it to me. He made us another day today. And if we have tomorrow, it'll be God's day tomorrow. It is pompous and arrogant to think that we're anything of this world. It's about God. It's all about God. And when somebody, I want to just tell you, when somebody stands up to be the man, you just as well reject it. He's not the man. The man that stands up and says, I want to tell you about the real one. That's the one. I don't want to point you to our offering box. Oh, that's a big deal. It's about us. You give to us, and if you give to us, you'll be blessed. No, don't want to point you to the offering box. I don't want to point you to an attendance board. I want to point you to Christ. You know why? Because the attendance means nothing. The money means nothing. But when you're out there and you need something, He's the one. You can call on Him. You remember when Paul was on Mars Hill, and there was the unknown to the unknown God, and he began to say to him who you worship ignorantly, let me tell you about this one that you don't understand. I'm going to tell you about this one. You know, Paul had some credentials. He could have had a following. He pulled a man there. This ain't about Paul. I'm going to tell you about the true one. Because Paul gets his head cut off. What happens to the followers of Paul? Peter's crucified upside down. What about all those that trusted that Peter had the gifts? Now it's all gone. But Christ rose. He came. He died for our sins on a cross. He rose again. Has victory over death. And he sits forevermore at the right hand of God doing what? Making intercessions for us. That's the one I want to tell you about. You got one that you can talk to, make intercessions to for you. He'll say to the Lord, this is mine. He'll say to the Father, yeah, this is mine. I'll make intercession for the... Right here, he makes intercessions for us. Not unto us, O Lord. Lord, help our worship to be true and sincere. The woman that talked to Jesus asked him a sincere question. The Jew says in Jerusalem's where you worship. Samaritan, we say in the mountains. Lord, what is it? And he said, I'll tell you the truth. There comes a time, and now is. You don't want to worship in the city or in the mountains. You want to worship in spirit and in truth. And you're not going to worship through a man. You don't need a vicar. You don't need somebody to... The intercessor is at the right hand of God. You don't need those intercessions. We are given... teachers and pastors and evangelists, and we're given that for the edification of the saints. It's there for the encouragement and admission, and it's there for the good, but it's not Christ. All of them will point you to the relationship with Christ. Do you remember in the scriptures, it's in 2 Samuel, time's getting away from it. There's a scripture in 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter. And it goes like this. Absalom had a rebellion. He had raised up in a rebellion. And if you remember, there was a battle against that. And if I'm not mistaken, Absalom had a full head of hair, didn't he? Wasn't he the one with the full head? And I believe that in the process of that battle, he got it tangled up and got caught in a tree or something. I think that's the way the story goes. So he's caught. And Joab in that story, I think, had just about had enough of Absalom. Because the men that was there said that the king had said nobody touches Absalom. But Joab was there and said, what about this Absalom? Well, he's stuck over there and he said, I would never lift a finger to him. And so Joab goes get three darts, I think it says in the scriptures. And he goes and he pierces Absalom through. And then these other 10 men, they finish him off. Absalom dies. So the king needs to be told. So Joab looks and he finds Cushai, I think it was, and says, "You ready?" "Yeah." Well, this other runner comes up and says, "Let me run." And Joab says, "My son, you're not ready to run. You don't have tidings. So you'll run another day." It sounded to me like he's been very careful with his feelings. "No, we'll let you run another day." And he sends Cushai off for running. So this guy comes back and says, "Let me run." And he said, "You don't have nothing to say. You don't have no tidings." And he says, I want to run." "Why do you want to run?" I mean, it wasn't said in that. "Why do you want to run?" "Here is the goal. And this is what we want to try to accomplish. There needs to be a witness to this that saw it and saw it." And he told Cushai, "Go tell the king what you saw." "You didn't see anything." "But I want to run." "And why do I want to run?" "Because it's about me. Why else could you?" "I want to run. Let me run too." And he says, "I guess it'll hurt to let the guy run. So run. And don't you know," I want you to picture this scene. Folks, we have a lot of, I'm not saying it's right, we need grace, but we have a lot of agitations in life at times with personalities and things like that. And when you start making things about you, you can sure aggravate a lot of them. So here goes this guy. He's a running. He's a better runner. He wants to prove this too. He's a better runner than Cushai is. Because it says he takes off running and he overtakes Cushai. Now, could you imagine they're running through the plain? They're going, trying to get to the king, and they're running along, and here comes this guy. I mean, can you just see this scene? He proved he's the best runner around, and that's surely what it's all about, and it's all about me and how good I can run. I don't know what that preacher's up there for. I preach better than that. I preach better than that. We want to get there. You got the message he got? You got the anointing of the Lord? I mean, Lord put an anointing where he wants to. And I want to tell you something else. I've misjudged this so many times, and I just learned to be quiet about it. Because sometimes I'll think, well, that wasn't very good, and people will be touched all over the place, praying all over the place, and I don't think it was that. It's not about me is what it is. It's about the Lord. That's why we need to stay out of those things. What we need to do is be sincere and pray about the Lord pouring out the Holy Ghost to people's hearts. Touching people's hearts. That's what the Lord wants to do, isn't it? So, Lord, help us to be in this and not for our own selves and our own way. But the cause of God can be furthered in our lives, in the lives of those around us. Make it about the Lord. And I truly believe that it was a prophecy of him putting on the cross. But we can use an analogy here. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." I think there's a lifting up of Christ in our lives as a people. I think there's a lifting up. Of course, the cross, he was lifted up, and that's the signet of it all. But we lift up Christ to that place. That this isn't about me. Let me hide behind the cross. Let me get out of the way. And this is about the Lord. There was times in the scriptures. Jesus did it at the land of the Gadarenes. Where he delivered legion. And then left him there. He wanted to go with the Lord. And Jesus left him there and said, "Go tell people what good things the Lord done for you." In there. You know what, honestly, I've done a lot of tent work in my ministry, and people that I have seen one time, maybe two, and never seen them again, and I've ministered in faraway places to where I know a lot of the people that I met and touched and stuff that I'll never see again. And that's okay with me. Well, I'd love to see people again, but that's not what it's about. I can't save them any. I want what it isn't about them. All coming to Green Bank and paying homage to me because I preached to them. Why? They got saved under my ministry. Well, it ain't about me. I didn't save you. I give the word of God, it saved you. The Lord saved you. It wasn't us. Lord, help us that we don't make it about us.
Yes.
Well, he outrun Cushai, and he gets to the king. The king seen him coming. He was anxious. He saw him coming. And he said, yeah, he's a good man. He's a good run. He ran up there and said, what's the tidings? What's your tidings? Oh, it's a battle. What happened? Your enemies have been, you've been avenged of your enemies. What happened to Absalom? I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. Stand aside. You made it about you, and it come to nothing. It wasn't about you. Lord, help us that we don't have to run just because we want to run. It's not in any way a criticism. I just want to say this. Our services are about the Lord. Okay? It's not about a demonstration of the flesh. We ought to all have in our hearts and minds what will glorify God. What's my part of glorifying God? Because we want to sing when we're supposed to. We want to not sing when we're not supposed to. We want to pray when we're supposed to. We want to not pray when it's sometimes. Sometimes we think that it's okay. Well, I'm not the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm saying sometimes we think it's okay because I'm quiet. Well, sometimes people that's quiet are supposed to say something. Sometimes people that's saying something ain't supposed to. But it isn't about me that I have to say something. Do you want to know how much of the services I could take up if I had to get up and tell everybody the thoughts that I have during service? You want to be challenged by that? Well, come to my cabin sometimes on a time, and I'll sit and tell you everything I thought about in service. That's not what it's about, me trying to tell everybody what I think. Sometimes the Lord will put an inspiration with it, and so I'll express it. If I feel like the Lord wants, but it's not to just be said. It's just not because I got a thought. It's the Holy Ghost. No, it's not. I want to be very careful. We believe in Holy Ghost leadership, but with that is Holy Ghost responsibility. I'm very responsible for what I'm doing. Lord, help me to have truth. Help me to be not. Help me to eliminate myself out of this. This isn't about me. It's really hard to think people think I'm not spiritual. But it's okay. Because this isn't about how spiritual I am. I want to qualify with one thing. My soul is in continually in my hand, and I've got to give attention to me personally, and that is about me. What my responsibility is to my own soul. But when it comes to the effort of the Lord, it's not about me. It's about the Lord, and I want to leave that with us. The benefit of being able to say that it's not about me will vibrate all through your life. There'll be a lot of places that you can say in your relationships with your family and friends and neighbors and everything, if you'll learn that this isn't all about me, it sure will make a lot of things go better. This isn't about me. Lord, help me to have a mind to more be concerned about what the situations of other people are, that I might be able to touch them, help them, and do something for them, because it's not about me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.